strong viewpoints. And sometimes it's hard to follow. It's very strong his viewpoints, but he lived and ate Christ and souls. And when there were certain aspects in which didn't appeal to me as a young man so much, I'm not talking about wrong. I mean, where he had strong viewpoints and strong ways with the Africans too, strong ways of getting holiness among the people and so on. The Lord said that to me. He says, now, he says, that's the man who's likely being eaten up to take Christ to the Africans. Now, you go back and learn from him. You forget any minor points. You take your chance as a young man and learn all you can from the young man. You can put your own ways into being a little later on when your chance comes. And by God's grace, he kept me to it. So you see, I'm seeing there are areas on this cost level, pressures of different kinds, ways of doing things of different kinds. But the key is, if I've seen that God means everything, I've got my answer. I think most of you know that, but it's most important. See, I went through the stage, some of you are. We used to think about that Christ permits things. No, he means them. What I mean is this: when we are in the third level, in the consciousness of the universal God, he's God's devil. The devil's only an agency of God. He's a creature of God. Everything's God. Evil's God's agency, as well as good. So you see, when you see this, you see the supreme gift of God to humanity is freedom. If I wasn't free, I couldn't be a person. I'm a person because I'm free to do this and that and choose this or that. That's my freedom. That's how God makes a person. Now, persons can misuse their freedom. Now, that's what the human race has done under Satan was the first to do it for himself. Misuse his freedom and produces this self-getting life with all its hellish products. The point is to be able to say God means that. How does God mean that? Because God means you have freedom. And God means your freedom to operate on his free level. So he means you to have the products of your freedom. As the products of your freedom come out, these accidents and deaths and hurts and diseases and so on, out of that. But you see, if you know God, you say, I'm the redeeming God, I'm the perfect God, I'm there to turn that thing to a purpose of praise and redemption. Now is your point. That's where you begin to turn your intercession into faith. See, in your intercession, these things will happen, pressurize you, you don't like them, you wish they weren't there, and they hurt you, and they're all different forms. Anything that happens to you, everything that happens to you now is part of the intercession. No matter what it is, maybe nice, maybe nasty. If you're in intercession, all those things add up to the intercession. Now, if you have to divine say, some are nice and some are nasty, you're in trouble. Well, you feel like that, but if you say, oh, I can take this, I can't take this, you're in trouble. If you go the other way around, now being human, you always start, oh, I don't like that. That's human. Oh, I don't like it. Wait a minute, God, you meant everything. You meant that person to be at what he is. Oh, you meant that situation to be what it is. You meant it. The moment you say God means you're released, aren't you? Because what God means must be perfect. So the moment you say God means a horrible thing, you now are on top of it, off underneath it. You're not saying, oh, it is awful. How can it happen? You say, God made it happen. Because if God means it to happen, God always means it because he has a perfecting purpose to it, a fulfilling purpose to it. So that's all I can say to you about that central area in intercession. The primary area is the inner commission. You may have different local ones you already have. Most of you have. You have local commissions. Relating to certain different people, certain different things. That's it. The hope is many of us have a total major commission, a world, a life commission. And if I understand right, it's God's purpose to give that to those who can see it. And you're caught up with something, and you've got to give yourself in your part to your condition to it. The second is that it's through your pressure faith will come. The pressure will be your death. And you have to have a die in your human self on behalf of what you're calling, like Jesus had a die death in his human self, out of his human self might come the resurrection. So we have to have our dying, the different kinds. may last for years, of course. In a sense, all that happens, I mean, I'm in this commission now for union life. Everything happens to me, part of it. I've got to do it. Some are nice, some may appear nasty, don't appear very nasty to me, but they, see, because I've got to do it. And the debt I've got to give myself to be at one age by which this can be fulfilled, and this reality can be parted in the world, in the body of the Christ in the world. And you're the same, see what I mean? So it may take form in a local commission, and you have the precious local commission. Well, God means that too, because inside the big commission he's given me this local area to be fulfilled. So both could be there, and it may involve the steps you take in identification, giving yourself to something, whatever form they may take. You see them all as something God means. That gives you the completion of the second level, which is the cost, the commission. The final level is the gaining of it. Now, the gaining of it is authoritative faith. See, it's the dying in the self-life sparks off the overcoming faith. This is where faith comes in. And this is where the Bible says all those intercessors lived by faith. They had their commissions. They had to go through Abraham, had to go through all his years, and Moses through his, and Joshua through his, and all his men stopped about the lions, Daniel through his, and quits about the fire. Some didn't get deliverance. Some burned from it. Some were sawn asunder. Some lived in tents and in dens and caves as part of the commission. But by faith. Now, faith means it's something positive. I think I'll just have a moment or two. You see, that this is, I think, pretty much known to you, but there's a difference between what I might call normal faith and specialized faith. Like there's a difference between normal Christian living. This third level of living might be called not normal Christian living, because you're set apart in your normal Christian life for special purposes, with special prices you're paying for it, special involvements. So it says intercession is the privilege of the abnormal, if you like. It's the privilege of the whole body of Christ where they can take it. But it depends on those who can take it. So there is specialized faith. What I mean is that normal faith, we all walk by faith if we fail, walk by faith. Normal faith, specialized faith, you know how to utilize faith to bring God's purposes into being. Faith becomes your active agent now. It's not just a passive principle of living. Well, Christ is my Savior, Christ is my Lord, Christ is, that's kind of more or less passive principle of living. You're now turning faith round into the means by which God's here to fulfill an intercession. Our intercession, of course, is to see that these light centers are planted around the world. And some of us are going to do it from our home ends, where we're living in our homes and our home becomes centers. Others are going to tramp out, like Dan Stone, and Ian Bryan going to do the same, and going to move out, and we hope Roger's going to be another one here, and move out and on another level, different levels. But we have to see that this is planted in all the world. That's my commission. If you're in it, that's your commission, your share of it. Now, here's the faith, you see. The faith means that I moved into active affirmation that the thing is in being because God says so. Now you're moving into the area where you're conscious of the become conscious of the plan of God in the situation. You're putting it into action. It's a resurrection faith. The difference that makes, of course, now the key chapter is Mark 11. The general principle is Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. What is that faith? Mark 11 tells you what that faith is. It gives you as practical a description as any I know in the Bible. Mark 11 is where Jesus was moving around on a just his usual way. See, of course, that is the freedom of this life. You're doing the next thing God puts into you to do. It's a free life. You're being caused by the Spirit to move into situations. So Jesus moved around like that. Now it says on this occasion he just happened to pass by a plantation, a fig plantation of some kind, and he saw there was no fig tree fruit on the tree. Seeing verse 13 of chapter 11, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, happily might find anything thereon. When he came, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the fig was not yet. Well, you see, he had a purpose. Usually you don't stop a tree because time hasn't come for the figs, but he had a purpose to fulfill. So he's going to use this tree for that purpose. And so he said, let no man eat fruit of the tree hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Now then, you see, here's the gaining of something. It's a detail, part of the whole, his whole principle, which he gave his life, of course. It's just a detail there along the way. But we have millions of details in which he operated temporary by this authoritative faith. Let no man eat fruit of it again. Now, next thing that happened, you pass over the next few verses, they just occupied you on the day. You pass on from verse 14 to verse 20, in between the messages. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now remember quite clear, Jesus didn't dry it up, he wasn't there. There was a power that dried that up. He didn't. He said, spoke a word. Wasn't a physical Jesus dried up there, he wasn't there. In other words, out from the word comes the power, which is the Holy Spirit. It's God does the work through the power, through the word. It's the Spirit of God dried up that fruit, wasn't it? Well, who else could have done it? As they passed by, saw it picked up, and Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. This is a wonderful statement. See, he's referring to you now on the 11th, spoke to them like an apostle on the third level. You have faith in God. You act as God. It actually says, has the faith of God. The Magi had the faith of God. In other words, you act as God. God's faith means he says a thing is and it is. He calls a thing it isn't and says it is. Romans 4 says God calls a thing to be not and says they are. So God's faith is he's saying a thing is which apparently isn't. And all he says is you do that. Now see, this puts it in the intercession life into this new quality of faith operation. Which we must admit makes it very difficult for us to function in our normal church fellowships, where what is called prayer is kind of bring your need to God and some hope you'll do it, and bring your things, hoping God will bless this, hoping God will bless that. This is not bring your need to God, it's God bring your need to us. It's not bring your need to God, it's God brought the need to us. God puts us in situations, and we see everything from God's point of view. God means everything. Now then, what happens to you, whether it's a person or a thing or whatever it is, God, you're saying God means everything. You see, you're living on this new level. So it isn't, please God do something about it. It's what you intend to do about it. What's up, God? So your life becomes not bringing things to God, so much as observing what God's brought to you and what's God up to. Why has he brought that situation there? Now this is how the intercession is gained. This is the gaining of the intercession. And then Jesus then adds to that in the next verse, Jesus said, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall have doubt in his heart, he shall believe that what those things which he has shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, see, Jesus is commissioning us now in our situation to act as God. What's that mean? What's a mountain? It means in every encounter of God, God meant something to confront you. Millions of things confront us all through life. All sorts of things. Maybe practical things in your home life. Maybe business things. Maybe family relationships. Maybe anything confronts you as a mountain. Now, when I think a person confronts you as a mountain, now you say God put that mountain there. And why has God put it there? For you to say, to see, he put it there because it's only an outer appearance. It's something the devil may have brought in, or whatever, maybe an outer appearance. And you're saying it's not there. You're saying, God, that thing isn't there. What takes its place is God's purposes. And so you say out of the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, and you have whatsoever he saith. Now, I recognize I'm talking to many of us who have learned to practice this word of faith. That's what we call the word of faith. See, it comes out of great simplicity when life is simple. You see, like Jesus, when he saw a thing, he just did it. When he saw a fig tree, he just did it. Now, it's very simple for us. It means when we're simple enough, any mountain that confronts us, we first recognize it as a mountain. I recognize God put it there that we might be the ones by which it, because it's only an outer form of something. That outer form is an outer appearance, and behind the outer appearance is God's reality. I'm the one by which it's replaced by God's reality. And so it's simple for me. I say, God, that thing's not there. I say, it's gone. That's all. I say, it's gone. Now, that's the meaning of the word of faith. See, a word is how a thing happens. You come here this morning, you say, I'll come. Everything happens because of the word. We eat food because I say, I'll eat it. Everything produces from inner words because we're inner persons. So a word is a person going into action. Everything we ever do is, you do because I'll sit in that chair, I'll go there, I'll do so and so. It starts inside as a word on the human level, and then humanly you put the word into action with your hands or your feet or your mouth or something like that. Now in the spirit, God's confronting you with this situation. You're seeing things from the spirit point of view. The spirit point of view, God's caused you to see this thing as it's really only an appearance. You can't touch it now, except that you can say it isn't there, because you act as God. You don't act as man who says, I've got to work it out or something. You act as God now. You say, I'm saying as God, that thing isn't there, it's disappeared into the sea, it's not there. And it's replaced whatever God will do. Illustration in the Bible of that, I know of that, is in the prophet Zechariah, when or the last prophet in the Bible but one, when the prophet was exhorting the king, the leader was Zerubbabel in those days. He was the leader building up, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and he'd said in chapter 4 verse 6, he said a very famous statement we often have used. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now that's just a general statement. How about its practical application? Now, next verse says so. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel. Now in the King James you have italics, thou shalt become, which isn't really there. Before Zerubbabel, a plain. Well, if a mountain's a plain, it means the mountain disappeared, of course. If a mountain is there, it's plain, there's no mountain. And in the plain, the wagons of God's supply can roll in on the plain, but they can't enter the mountain. It's opened the way for God's supply to come through. So see, what God's saying is, your first stage, therefore, is to say, that thing's not there. Because I've said so. Because I'm now able, this is what I am, as a third level person, I speak as God. I'm speaking this word as God, and I say it's not there. And you don't doubt in your heart. Your heart's your purpose. Your heart's your center, where your choices are made. That's your spirit. Now in your spirit, you said it. Now your mind will question it tomorrow. Your emotions, your reason will question it. Your outer vision will start to question it tomorrow. So you don't doubt. Doesn't say don't doubt in your mind and don't doubt in your feelings. Don't doubt in your heart. Say, I won't take doubt. I've said it. And you have whatsoever is there. And he as it were strengthens that for you. If you want strengthening, a word's enough. The word of creation, the word's enough. But he does strengthen it in that Mark 11 chapter. He says, well, if to say a word, if you want to kind of put some further human, as we would say, muscle behind it, if you want to, you could use what we call prayer. But he says, prayer is in faith. Prayer is in faith. So where he said in Mark 11, where the verse we just read, say unto this mountain, be thou removed. In verse 23. In verse 24, he says, very well, therefore I said to you, whatsoever things ye desire, see, what we desire, of course, is the end of that mountain, where it is so simple. Life is what we desire, because we're not we. Our minds express God's mind. So don't be afraid of your desires. You use your desires. Your desires, you've taken to be God's desires. So simple. Whatever you desire, when you pray, so the important point is not what we usually call prayer, which is asking things God and so on. It's a condition of approach to God. When you pray, believe. And believing is only saying what you've already done in the previous chapter, in the previous verse. You say that the mind you haven't doubted in your heart. Well, here it is. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have.
1 John 5 is good on that.
Turning faith into knowing.
It's believing.
Yes, it is. In 1 John 5, believing comes knowing.
Yeah. 14 and 15.
Half of 1 John, last chapter, is you believe, and then this last half is that it says is you know. We know. Now, 30, 40 years. If we know we hear, we know we have the petitioners out of him. Since serious as all this is that we've been going through in intercession, this faith is serious. You can't play at it. You've said something's happened and God's done it. Now you can't play at that. There's a sense in which you can pull your prayer back, you can't pull your faith back. Well, you can pray and say, if you like, if it be their wills, get an escape mechanism for you. That's not third level praying. That's what level of praying that is. But that's the praying of the church. And most of the church prays on that level. And we ought to take another time, maybe a touch on the question of healing in reference to this, the physical healing, but that as one of them. But, you see, we're not saying, if it be thy will. We said the thing has happened. So you don't fool with this. I keep saying you've got to sink into certain things here which have become principles. This whole principle is you're a third level person. Your life is geared now to God's purposes outside yourself and others. And the principle somewhere God has a direct commission to you. Hopefully, a life's commission which eats you up. And then inside that, many other commissions. Many of you have been fulfilling commissions with local people and local things, putting local things through. A series of local commissions. And you've been paying something of these prices that come to you. You've been doing the death level which produces the life. Now, the remainder is that in that debt level, you gain the intercession by faith. Now, the very fact of your cost sparks up your faith. That's why Gethsemane sparks up the faith of Jesus. He went into Gethsemane saying, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. He was now saying, not my will, but thine. And if I saw right, he saw the resurrection and the ascension and the Pentecost in that. Because that's a tremendous thing. If you not only die, but rise again, who said so? Arise again to come again us, that's it. And if the agony of Gethsemane intensified the faith, so he walked as a king on the Calvary. So you see, our commissions and the costs intensify the faith. But now, do we get this faith? it's operating faith is speaking words, and you're operating on the finished word. I haven't time now really, but this is, I learned this great lesson through Esau's. I learned operating faith and the principles of intercession through Esau's. And that's how this whole little crusade I joined in with only 35 missions, we saw it at that time. I told you at the time when we only had $8 at the bottom of things. Should we give up? Only four of us at home, my wife, myself, and a missionary on furlough, and one recruit, so we were. And there were 35 missionaries to conquer. Well, today, of course, we're 1,500 all around the world. Now, what are we to do? Should we give up? Through Reese Howard, really, and through the Bible, I learned that point. It isn't what we think, it's what God's saying. What is God up to? God put us in this vision. It isn't we poor things like this. God put us as a purpose. That's the point. Now, when we did, you know what happened? We sat there. What's God's purpose? God's mind is a ridiculous thing. 15 years ago, our father went on alone, and by no church, no backing, never used just what God said, heart of Africa, planted in the heart of Africa, where I was with him, planted there. But he said this when he went out, the time he left his wife, wrote back from the boat, there were no planes in those days, said, God's spoken to me in my cabin in a strange fashion. I said, this trip I'm taking, he called it just a trip, right through southern Sudan, into the Congo, where people hadn't gone, is not only for the heart of Africa, but for the whole unevangelized world. That means any areas of West Africa, Japan, Thailand, India, which hadn't got the gospel. In those days, there were great areas, vastly different today. Many of them would be fulfilled today. This trip is not only for the heart of Africa, but for the whole unevangelized world. One man! Ridiculous! And he added this word, to human reason it sounds ridiculous. But faith laughs at impossibilities. Credit shall be done. Christ shall be done. 15 years afterwards, Tata died in Africa, the workers founded, the churches began to spring up in the heart of Africa, just in one area, not the whole world. Here we sat back in England. What did God say? Didn't I say the whole world? You're Tata, ridiculous. God said it. God said, yeah, but how can you do that? We only got $8 a month for our missionaries. Talk about the whole world, fantastic. What's the answer? Faith, of course. But your faith isn't a theory. If the moment comes when you've got to know how to put it into practice, and somewhere in your life you'll find this yourself. So I'd say, faith, what's faith mean? You're in a tight spot. What do you do? And so, under guidance, as you do, by the guidance, I mean, it just occurred to me. Look here, let's see what the Bible said to a man of faith. We said, at that time, in our little crusade business, it's as if Moses had been our founder and had died. And we were like Joshua, had got to get the thing done. Cross the river, get it done. Let's see what God said to Joshua. So the four of us turned to Joshua 1, chapter 1, and we read that the first 9 verses, chapter 1, is a conversation God had with Joshua, which was exhortation. We didn't want exhortation, we wanted practical application. Exhortation was, oh, now be strong and courageous and cross the land and do the stuff. That wasn't the point. How'd you do it? As long as I didn't know. It was penniless, helpless, talking about God's word. Our group was starving. Well, how'd you do it? Verse 9 ends the conversation. In my King James Version, that ends the paragraph mark. And then it just says this. Then Joshua called together the officers of his army, of his people. Joshua 1:9. Verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers of his people to pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, which is in flood, to go and possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. You see, you know what struck us? Who gave Joshua authority to say 3 days? God hadn't said to him. We saw it like a flash. You know how this flash can come? We see, oh! God puts the details in our hands. He gives us a blank check, we fill it up. He just says, you've got all my resources. Fill up what you want. We put the filling up. We saw faith. We say, get that mountain, that person, that thing. God doesn't. He does it by us. God says, in general, I'm going to do something, but it's going to come. I operate only through my sons. Through my son and my sons. I operate through you, so it's got to come through your faith. Your faith means you've got to practically see what type of mountain sticks up against you now. What person, what thing is bugging you now. Pick it up. Now you say then, what would I like to happen? Well, sit back. If it's a several of you, do it together, sit back. Well, what did we say? Well, we said what we want is more people in Africa and other lands to take Jesus to people who never heard of him. We know obviously need more missionaries in the Congo and other places to take Jesus to people who never heard of him. And so we sat back and said, all right then, we'll start now. And in our weak strength, we'll not only we'll leave the question of the feeding of the existing 35 to God to look after. We say, we're here, we will say, God, in this year, you say, 10 new recruits, called of you, Bible trained, spirit filled, called to Africa, with the money in their pockets to go out. Now, that was our first step of faith. And we sat down and we said, we read that scripture. Scripture says, whatsoever it is, when you pray, believe you receive it. And we found that the Greek of the word receive is in at aorist tense, it means you received it on the spot, not receive, received it on the spot. And we sat together and said, Lord, here we are in this room. We've hereby received, without any appeals made to man, any fussings around, 10 workers trained of the Spirit, called, know their Bibles, take it to the Africans, money in their pockets, ready to go out to Africa. We tried just with Africa. And we just said, thank you, Lord. That's the phrase. It blanks, barked it. Thank you, Lord. Well, you thank you. I don't know. Thank you, somebody somewhere. That's all. You feel like it. You feel like a fool, you see. That's all it is. And I just had two little additions to that. Things strengthen your faith. One was, next day we four met again. Sat together. And one of us said, Lord, please remember that 10. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you better shut up. Because decent people don't ask what they got. They thank for what they got. If you didn't get them yesterday, ask. If you did, thank. Oh, we told by we never asked again. We had thanking meetings every day. Where are they? I don't know. And they were often laughing meetings. Watch them come from heaven. They came. 5 men and 5 women came. God called them. I don't know how he called them. They came, one by one by one. And by the last, but within 5 days of the whole of this year, the last man in, he's still called Mr. Ten in Africa. His real name is Davis. The 10 in Africa is Kumi. He's called Mr. Kumi. He's the 10th to come in. But he came without the money. He arrived, he said, God's called me, but I haven't got that. And part of his promise was the money, which wasn't much. In those days, it cost $1,000 to get him in those days to field. And there we were. And I remember the last little bit. I had those 5 days, I'd gone out to Belfast for some prayer groups of the people. And in my heart, I had this. Somewhere or other, $1,000 is going to show up. We know it was £200 in our terms. And you know where? It must come for that purpose, not for any other purpose. I said, well, I don't know why, but some of you feel a fool. It's your, when you're weak, you're strong. When you're a fool, you're wise. This is the foolishness of wisdom. Well, I didn't stop. And, 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days left. I went back to the hostess of the home I was staying in the prayer groups, and the telegram waiting for me. My wife is back in London. This is Belfast. Opened it for my wife, £200 for the 10 hallelujah. That's all. I found out later, I don't know how they knew, 2 old ladies sent the money. So ever since I've always said, God bless old ladies. They're very convenient. They certainly give money. But you see, the point was the principle. You get the point. It wasn't the practice, it was the principle. Oh, that's it. It works. It works once, it works a million times. That's 50 years ago. We've had hundreds of times since. We have thousands of in the churches of Jesus Christ today. We have monies coming by the million. We have 130 room headquarters over in Britain filled with people. We have a big headquarters here from which we send people out. Germans and Dutch go out. And things are thriving all around the world, and we never ask a penny. God's raised up, and people raised up, and things rolls around. And now it's the Africans themselves are missionaries, an Indian missionary, the Indonesian missions, so on around the world. So you see, I'm only reminding you on this, but this is the final level of intercession. The first level is consciousness of commission. Maybe God has he privileged some of you already to have a union life commission. You're already caught out for things as I have, and you're not going to go into it. Some, but maybe God give you a major commission, and it'll be a drive your life. But that also local commissions. Within the measure, there may be local, or just by the local commissions. A census is something God's given you to put through. A person, a thing, a detail. That's the thing. Now, just go into it. You put yourself into it. Somewhere along the line, you find there'll be a death that others might live. And then whatever form it takes, involvement, you'll find it will be that. Don't make it up, it just comes. But it's the law of the harvest, you die as others may live. It may come in your reputation, it may come in the outpoured life you live, or the involvement. Who can tell what? Love actions, whatever form. Who knows what ways? But it'll cost somewhere. And you'll be conscious as you go on the cost. But when you see the glory, when you see God means this as the glory, you see the glory, you don't see the cost. Like Paul, my life affliction working for far more see the eternal way to glory. You see the glory, not the cost. So if trust in seeing the cost, you may doubt whether they've got the thing yet, because when you see the thing, you see the glory. And it comes through the cost. But your operation then is to gain it. It's not sufficient to have a commission and passively say, well, I take what comes or do it. You go to gain. That's faith. You move in and say, this is the thing God's given me, and you start that faith by getting it before you get it. You start by moving and say, that's the thing God's given me. I have that in me now. I see by faith already people scattered through this world who know Christ in them. I've got that by faith. And all these different countries, there are people rising up. I can't see one of them except a few in England now, and then somebody we know just going to visit Australia is always there, but that's nothing. So you have inside you the word of faith spoken. And you live on the background of that fact. Remember, faith isn't just one moment. It's recognizing things happen. You have to re-recognize it many times. I've enjoyed that first year. Many times you recognize the tent are coming somewhere. Where are they? Where are they? So you re-recognize your faith. You don't say it again, but except to say, well, they're coming somewhere. So faith does say that. If it's serious, it's part of you, and you re-recognize it. Somehow here it is, or Christ already has come, you're seeing coming. So that's the third area. You get it by the authority of faith, combined with the involvement, the patient involvement, by which the thing comes to pass. And that is the vision. And that is the summit given us. It's a high calling of God. And thank God, as I say, I'm talking to people in different ways, because we're those who are, you are involved in those kind of things. And maybe later on in the day, some of you are going to tell us how you've been through intercessions. And you've been proving this very thing we're talking about, or are in the process of intercessions. And want us to join our faith with yours. That God's doing something which may be hurting you. And that's what it means to me. The cross which brings the glory. A cross is the heart which brings the glory. You can't have the resurrection of the glory, the cross. But you don't make it up, it comes to you, it's just given you. So that's it. That's a good old dose for you. There we are. Now we haven't had, there may be another time, tomorrow morning, if I think you want to raise about this. I would like to read to you that, go through with you that marvelous presentation by Paul. In Philippians 3, this whole system. And there may be questions on it, and then we can move on again tomorrow. Some of these other questions about the ground, spirit, soul, and body, and some of these things we want to discuss together. So that's about it.
Thank you.
Our mental potato is getting cold, so we're going to go right into lunch, okay?